Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I think my microphone is off or down a little bit. There we go. It sounds better now. There we go. So good morning, or excuse me, good afternoon. Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels, take two. I had to run to get some water. You know, I'm going to be by myself again today, and I'm like, I don't have any water. And I was already parched from talking to myself. So I said, let me run in here and get some water. So that's what I did. So the people on Facebook Live saw me jump up and run, go get some water. So there you go. But hey, welcome to the show. Do appreciate you guys joining in with me, especially the audience on Facebook. Maybe I got a couple new people today. I'm not sure, but we'll find out later. So how's everyone? How's everyone's Thanksgiving? Hope things were well. I had a pretty good one. I actually had... And I'm sure it comes as no surprise that, you know, I had a vegan Thanksgiving. I think this is the first time I've had like a complete, well yeah, it is, because I've only been a vegan since January 3rd of this year, of, you know, 2019. So this would be my first Thanksgiving being a complete vegan, and I had a vegan Thanksgiving. So, you know, as everyone else ate, you know, the turkey and the regular kind of dressing or stuffing or whatever you call it, with meat in it, vegetables with meat in it. I don't even understand that, and I don't want to even go there. But I had a complete 100% vegan, well, with the exception of, with the exception of dessert, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But for everything else, the main dish or the main entrees that I had, or side dishes or whatever the heck you want to call them, were all vegan. So I'm going to go through that. So that's, I'm going to tell you. So that's kind of what some of my industry news today. The industry news today is that I had, Russell of Hotels had, a completely vegan meal on Thanksgiving. So these are some of the things that I had. And you tell me if you can, if you even know what the heck this stuff is. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was just a takeoff of the regular stuff. So spicy cornbread dressing, which of course had no, if it's made with any type of probably vegetable, what do you call it? Vegetable stock, you know, it's probably made with that. It's not made with any kind of, you know, turkey stock or beef stock or anything like that. So spicy cornbread dressing, which was good, had different types of spices and different herbs and things like that, which is good. Then a mushroom touffee, not an etouffee, a mushroom touffee. So it was different types of mushrooms, probably about three or four different types of mushrooms in there. And it's in some type of, it was kind of spicy, some type of sauce or something. I can't even remember what the heck it was. And vegan mac and cheese, not mac and cheese, mac and cheese. And that's spelled Y-E-A-S-E. And that's something. So check this out. And I may have mentioned this before. Maybe you even know that to substitute a type of cheese, like vegan for, I mean, you can use vegan cheese. There is such a thing as vegan cheese, but some people, maybe they don't like the taste, or they don't know how it's made, so they won't, you know, they won't use it. But if you were to use cashews, you know, cashew nuts, blend them up with like garlic and season it with some rosemary, and you put these kind of, it's called yeast flakes, which are completely vegan. I mean, there's no meat in there or anything like that. It gives that blended cashew the taste of cheese. So you can go ahead and put that cheese or that yeast sauce over your noodles, and it kind of tastes like mac and cheese, but in this case, they call it mac and yeast. So you got to try it. I'm going to tell you where I got all this stuff from too, but you need to try that, because I've actually done this before. Prior to this, you know, I experiment with a lot of different food, because, you know, if you're a vegan, you got to try different stuff, right? Because everything, I don't like everything that they make or everything that's out there. But I mean, you can never go wrong with just plain vegetables, but you need some imagination. You need to, you know, put a little oomph in it, if you will, a little excitement in your food. So vegan mac and yeast. OK, so look it up. Check it out. Vegan collard greens with tomatoes. That was really good. Different kind of taste. Like I said, they didn't have, I'm used to having greens with some type of meat, like they can cook it in a like turkey or smoked turkey. That's a lot of people will cook it with smoked turkey or I'm gonna go southern on you, fat back or bacon bits or something like that. That's how normally the people that I eat with, you know, that's how they cook, prepare things. But this was actually, I mean, this was definitely different, definitely a change of pace. So vegan collard greens with tomatoes. And then I didn't make any of this stuff. I got it from somewhere, and I'm going to tell you where it is. But I made calabacitas. Now, calabacitas is, you know, I went to Santa Fe, I don't know, it's been about a month and a half ago. And calabacitas is like the national dish of New Mexico, okay, and definitely prevalent in Santa Fe. So it comes with basically some mixture of zucchini squash, corn, like, you know, whole kernel corn that's been taken off the cob and all that kind of stuff, and sauteed with like green chilies and some type of seasoning. And it's very good. And there's no meat in it at all. I cook it with a little olive oil, things like that. But perfect. Right. So it's all vegan. So that's all vegan. With the exception of this pecan pie that I made, but I did make it with vegan butter. Okay, so only thing I have to substitute now, and I'm still experimenting on this, and I didn't eat a lot of the pie. Maybe I just tasted a little just to see what it tastes like, and it was actually very good, but it still had the eggs in it. Okay, so I have this recipe for a pecan pie, and it does have eggs in it, but I'm just gradually trying to incorporate this egg mixture, which is completely vegan. I just haven't done that yet, and I will for Christmas, because I'm gonna start experimenting with some things leading up to Christmas. So that's what I did. And you know, guess where I got it from? The vegan dish or the vegan meals that I mentioned: the spicy cornbread dressing, the mushroom touffee, the vegan mac and yeast, the vegan collard greens, all came from Whole Foods. Okay, I guess they'll do anything for a price, right? So It was actually pretty good. I picked it up on, I think, Wednesday, put it in the refrigerator. Then the next day, gives you instructions on how to heat it up and all that kind of stuff. It's already prepared. So may do the same thing for Christmas. I don't know. Maybe they have something different. So shout out to Whole Foods for your vegan meals. Very good, very tasty, very flavorful, and very exciting too, right? So I was excited to have it. So thank you, Whole Foods. Industry news. What else is going on in the industry? Hotel occupancy. U.S. hotel occupancy projected to be down in 2020. Now, I don't have all the specifics. I did see kind of a blurb of something that popped up on my phone, but I didn't get all the specifics of it. But bottom line, it's going to be down. So people that have done their budgets already, you're going to have to redo it. You know, if the trend was saying that, you know, occupancy was going to be up, you're going to have to redo it. So basically, what's going to happen? So next year, 2020, if occupancy is going to be down, guess what they're going to do? They're going to raise the rates, right? So something has to happen. Like if occupancy was up, then maybe they would, the rates would be, you know, flat to this year. Maybe, I don't know. But since they're going to be, since occupancy is going to be down, guess what? Rates are going to be up. So I guess guaranteed. So that's across the board. That's all U.S. I mean, this is all markets within the U.S. So STAR Report, which stands for Smith Travel Research. It's a company that does all the percentages of occupancy, ADR, and RevPAR, which stands for Revenue Per Available Room. So basically, it's a formula that they come up with that basically tells you what occupancy is going to be, or what the RevPAR is going to be, or the ADR. So ADR, average daily rate. So not to get in all the specifics of that, because that can be kind of boring. But bottom line, all you need to know, Joe Consumer, is that going next year, expect the rates to be higher than what they are this year. But, you know, that's always the case anyway, right? You never, but then again, you never know. But look at, always compare prices, right? Compare prices with, and start looking at other hotels, right? Start looking at independent hotels, indie hotels, like I try to call them, or like I call them. You don't always have to go with the brands, right? You don't have to always go with the Big M or the Big H or the IHG or the other Big H. Hyatt is what I'm talking about. Try the independent hotels. Try they're always around. It's just that we don't want to give them a shot because we're not familiar with them. We never heard of them, but this may be an opportunity to do that. So if you go on, if you book through like a third party sites like Expedia, or just go to like a Trivago or something like that, which is a mega data search for hotels, and you just basically compare all the prices and then go from there, because there'll be independent hotels in there as well. But make sure they're equal. They're 3-4. There's even 5-star independent hotels. So check them out. A lot of them here in L.A., West Hollywood, Santa Monica are filled with 3-5-star independent hotels, or boutique hotels, as a lot of them are called. So check it out. Let's see, what else did I have for industry news? And speaking of that, indie hotels, I'm always in conversation with people about, you know, digital and how small hotels are using technology to stay relevant, right? There's always some article about, you know, digitally speaking, how do small hotels that don't have a brand behind them, how do they stay relevant? And a lot of that always stems or goes back to social media, which I always talk about. You know, hotels should, I don't know what that is. Why am I looking at this? Why am I, you know, allowing the phone to dictate what I'm doing right now? And I guess I should have the phone turned off, right? So, but anyway, I turned it off, turned the ringer off, and put it upside down. It was nothing important, just so you know. But how do hotels stay relevant, especially the independent boutique hotels? How do they stay relevant? How do you know that those hotels even exist? There's other ways. There's no other way other than a social media presence. Are they part of their, their convention visitors bureau, who goes out and basically solicits for the city or that community, hotel community? I mean, you have to be part of a lot of different things. You have to do things that the other hotels are not doing, right? So you have to have a presence. There's no other way around it. The big boxes, I mean, they have the name behind them. We know that, but that doesn't mean that independent hotels can't be just as successful, but they just have to get out and make stuff happen. So that's my industry news. Excuse me. Man, I'm getting kind of choked up. How do you get a hold of Russell Hotels? Excuse me while I take a drink of water. I get choked up when I get on the radio. How do you contact Russell Hotels? Well, I'm the Russell Hotels, but email russell@russellhotels.com. Twitter, I'm at Russell Hotels. IG, Russell Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edman. Facebook, 2 pages, Russell L. Edman and Russell of Hotels. And then I have a website, which is russellofhotels.com. Did I tell you guys about the weather today? It's kind of cool, probably in the, I'm going to say, high 50s. Supposed to rain tomorrow. Rain over Thanksgiving in Southern California for the most part. I mean, rain like steady, like flooding kind of rain. So just so you know what the weather is like, typically in LA, this is when we get our rain. It's normally between, as I can recall, between Thanksgiving and Christmas that we get most of our rain anyway, because during the rest of the year, you know, in the summer, you may get a freak shower every now and then, but typically we get our rain between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So nothing's changed this year. So there you go. So it's in the 50s right now. I'm in Sherman Oaks, California, which is right outside of Los Angeles. My show is it's a live show. So it comes on every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. That's my time slot, right? After the show is over, it becomes a podcast, and you can find it on iTunes and Apple Play, Spotify, things like that. So wherever you find your favorite podcast platform or show, check out On Air with Russell Hotels. We'll be there. Sponsorship opportunities. What does that mean? You see, my today's show is sponsored by Russell Hotels. So you can see that. So just imagine your logo is right there for all of Facebook to see, you know, Facebook Live to see. And then after I do this Facebook Live feed, I actually take that same video and put that on LinkedIn, as well as my other Facebook pages and Twitter as well, and LinkedIn and YouTube. So there you go. So everything is covered. So just imagine you seeing your logo there. It's a way of promoting your business, right? Your hotel or yourself or however you want to do it. So those opportunities are there. Just give me a call or just email me, like I said, at russell@russellofhotels.com. So you can do your special promotion. Say you're running a holiday special. You want to get big people in there. Call up Russell and say, hey, I want to do this. Hey, and we'll talk about it. And you go from there. Career opportunities. If you have some openings, you can do that. Just like today, somebody contacted me today and said, hey, I'm looking for a sales manager at the H Hotel at LAX. Like, hey, okay, I put that on the show today. So H Hotel LAX is actually a nice hotel. I think it's managed by Interstate Hotels. It's right there on Century and Vicksburg. I'm not sure if you guys know where LAX is, you know, gateway to LAX, or where all the hotels are. So it would be past the Sheraton. It would be west of the Sheraton, but east of the Hyatt. So it's actually across from where the Hyatt is, which is right on the corner of Century and Sepulveda. So that's where that hotel is. I think it's a 260-room hotel. Very nice. Maybe been open. I don't think it's been open 2 years yet. So it's very nice. I've been there several times. They have a rooftop bar. Probably be an easy sale. So they're actually looking for a sales manager. So just so you know, advertise your brand. I already said that. So you can advertise, just like we did career opportunities that throughout H Hotel. Did anybody know about H Hotel? No, but on Russell Hotels, if I'm going to mention there's a job opening, I have to mention the hotel too, right? So the hotel, the sales manager opening is at the H Hotel LAX. So that gives, it promotes the H Hotel a little bit, but that's what I'm all about, right? All about education, all about promotion, all that kind of stuff. Who listens to this show, and what are my feeder cities, or what are the feeder cities? That's a good question you may ask, right? Who listens to the show? 50% are hotel, tourism, CVB people, you know, CEOs, salespeople, account managers, PR people, whatever, listen to the show. And then the other 50% would be buyers, like people that have meetings, people that, you know, look for hotels in different cities and venue, or looking for venues and for meetings or whatever, conferences or whatever. So it's not just about LA. This show is an internet show. So it's broadcasted everywhere, right? Wherever you can get internet, you can hear the show. And of course, Facebook Live is worldwide anyway. So you'll get into some markets that you maybe didn't think you can get into, and you know, the way you've been doing it. So my feeder cities, New York, Chicago, LA, of course, Orange County. Did I say San Francisco? San Francisco. So San Francisco, Orange County, LA, Chicago, New York. Those are the feeder cities for On Air with Russell of Hotels. What is the Russell of Hotels group? Business development. I do business development for Broughton Hotels, which is a small boutique company. They have about 15 hotels now. They're looking to grow their management contract. So I have the task of assisting them with doing that. So I only exclusively assist Broughton Hotels. So that's one thing that I do, and that's business development. So my job is to go out and find hotels that either they're looking for. It can be a new build. Say it's a new build ownership group. They need someone to manage a hotel. They don't want to manage. They don't have the expertise to manage it themselves. So they look for a third party, i.e. Broughton Hotels. Right. So basically, that's what I look for, opportunities for Broughton to take over management contracts or get existing management contracts. So there you go. Hotel site selection. I am a meeting planner. I guess that's the buzzword, but I call it hotel site selection because I help people, companies and organizations find a suitable hotel for their meeting needs. If that's a meeting, convention, a conference, a retreat, wherever it is worldwide, I can assist. So that's the hotel site selection part that I do. Digital marketing. If you look at any of my social media platforms, you'll see that, you know, I do a lot of digital meeting, digital media, meaning, you know, hotels, destinations. You'll see a lot of postings for that, for hotels you may have heard of, maybe hotels you haven't heard of, but that's the way that hotels can stay relevant, by doing things via social media. And that's one of the things that I do as well for hotels and CVBs and destinations and things like that. Digital marketing. Oh, I just said that, digital marketing, didn't I? And I'm a radio show host. Like today, I'm a radio show host. Well, not just today. I mean, I think this is my 35th show. So I've done this for a minute. And the reason why I did it, people always ask me, why do you do this radio show? It's to get to do something different, right? If you've been doing the same things, you've been trying to promote your business the same way and only getting the same results, well, maybe you need to try something different. So that's what I did. I said, as the first of this year, which was, I think my first show was the 23rd of January, I think is what it was. I made a decision to say, hey, I'm going to do something different because I want to get my business out there. I'm going to get Russell's Hotels in front of people that I couldn't reach before. And guess what? Building a brand, right? Building a brand is not easy, but you have to do it and you have to be consistent. And this is a way for me to be consistent. So I do this every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, with the exception I did take maybe a month off, and this was in the summer. So we went on hiatus for about a month. So 4 weeks, I guess. Yeah, about 4 weeks we went on hiatus, but we came back strong and we're back, right? So that's why I do the radio show. So I interview today's hospitality professionals. Not today, but normally I'll have someone on the show. And if not, then you get to hear me talk. Because I just have a wealth of information about hotels. And I call it Hospitality Unplugged because it's all about hospitality. It's all about, you know, the hotel industry, the tourism industry. If you're a foodie, it's all about that. I mean, I had food influencers on the show. I talk about food because I'm a vegan, so I got to be creative about what I eat. And some people, it's funny, you'd be amazed, some of the people that call me or email me or I come across and say, hey, you're that guy, you're Russell, you're the Russell of Russell Hotels. And they ask me about food. They always ask me about, hey, you know, I've been trying this vegan diet and all that kind of stuff. You know how it makes me feel? First of all, it lets me know that people are actually listening to the show. So that's a barometer for me, right? But it's always good to have that conversation. It starts a conversation, right? That someone wants to, you know, not necessarily be a vegan, but maybe eat a little healthier or, you know, try different options. They'll ask me, like, what's your favorite vegan restaurant in L.A. or something like that. And people always give me suggestions. Hey, you've been to this restaurant? You've been to that restaurant? So, and if I haven't been there, guess what? I'm going to check it out. So there you go. So that's what the Russell of Hotels group does. And yeah, that's what I do. But anyway, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. I was congratulating some people, but I left it in here for some reason. I guess maybe I want to congratulate them again. So I want to congratulate again. Like I said, I did this 2 weeks ago. Miss Ronnie Palmer promoted to Chief Sales Officer at Oakland CVB. Ronnie Palmer, She was a guest on the On Air with Russell Hotel show earlier this year. And you're going to see there's a correlation here with being on the show and being promoted and moving around and things like that. You're going to see this in a second. Congrats to Doug Caldwell, formerly with Grand Sierra Resort and the SLS. So Grand Sierra Resort is in Reno. SLS is in Vegas. Okay, he was the formerly, I think he was an account manager there, or director of new accounts, things like that. Well, he's now the director of business development with Atlantis Resort and Casino in Nassau, Bahamas. So congratulations to him. And guess what? He was also a guest on Air with Russell Hotels, right? So these people that have been on the show have gone on to do great things, right? So Ms. Ronnie Palmer promoted to Chief Sales Officer, Oakland CVB, and Doug Caldwell, now Business Director of Business Development with Atlantis Resort and Casino in Nassau, Bahamas. Isn't that great? And then congrats to Julie Verdusco. She's the new Senior Sales Manager at the Lake Arrowhead Resort. So she hasn't been on the show yet, though, but congratulations to her. She was formerly at the Hilton in Long Beach, just FYI. Who's on blast? Now, today I get to, I think, take someone off of blast today because they've agreed to do something. So I'm going to tell you. So what does who's on blast mean? That's not a bad thing. It's basically guests that, you know, I know or potential guests that I know or people that I know in the industry that I respect. And, you know, they all have a story to tell, right? Well, we want to hear their story here on Air Russell Hotels. So these are people that I want on the show. They're not a bad thing, and they're not going to be put on blast like, oh, you did this. No, it's not that kind of thing. It's not that kind of party, okay? So it's just these are people that I want on the show. These are people that I respect in the industry. They could be here in L.A. They can be, I think one is, excuse me, one is on the East Coast. But I just these are just people I want on the show. And just so you know, you don't have to be here in front of me to be on the show. Everyone thinks they have to come to this studio here in Sherman Oaks, which that would be great if you could, because that way you can be on Facebook Live with me and everybody can see you and things like that. But that's okay. You don't have to. You can be wherever you are. In fact, Doug Caldwell did it and he was in New York. Okay. He lives in New York, so he couldn't, I'm not going to fly him out here. Right. So Doug Caldwell did it out here. I mean, did it from New York. Victor Simmons, who works for Wyndham Hotels, he did it in New Jersey. So there's a number. You just call in, and I ask you the same questions I would ask you if you were sitting next to me. Only difference is that you wouldn't be on Facebook Live, and that's okay because I'm still on Facebook Live, so they get to see me, and I get to talk about you. I get to still show your logo and things like that, so you get to see. In fact, if you want a picture of you, I'll put a picture of you right there and the logo, so we can do that as well. So don't think because you're not in LA that you can't be on the show. Yes, you can. You can be anywhere around the world as long as you have internet connection, or you can call into Skype. We can do it. So I don't want to hear that as an excuse. So who's on blast right now? Brian Churchill, VP, LA Tourism. You're on blast. Carol Motley, C-Mott. That's her nickname. That's what I call her. Okay, C-Mott. Carol Motley, C-Mott. You know, that's what I call her. Been calling her for years, okay. She's director of convention sales with Destination D.C. That's Washington, D.C. for people that don't know what D.C. is. Luis Torres, Universal Studios. Stephanie Corsino, Hong Kong Tourism. Sam Thompson and Matt Diamond with Sync Meeting Management. Okay, so today I'm taking Sam Thompson and Matt off of the On Blast list. Because Sam contacted me today and said that he would agree to be on the show. It won't be till next year, but he already gave me a date. So January 7th, 2020, Sam Thompson is going to be here. I'm not sure if he's going to be in this chair or not, but he's going to be on the show. So I'm going to take him off. So Sam Thompson, you're off blast. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. We appreciate it. And I'm adding a Miss Stacy Gaston. Now, Stacy Gaston is the DOSM, Director of Sales and Marketing, at the upcoming, it's not open yet, upcoming, that's what it means, upcoming, right? It's not open yet. Glenmark Hotel in Glendale. So the Glenmark Hotel is a Tribute Collection, which is part of Marriott. It's a soft brand, okay? So it's an independent hotel, and if I'm not mistaken, it's, I don't know if it's a new build or it was something that was an existing building that's been converted to a hotel. I'm not sure, but when we get this young lady, this Stacy, on the show, we can grill her and ask her these questions, right? So I talked to her this morning, but she has to come up with a date. So she said she is on blast, but until we come up with a date. Okay, so when we come up with a date, she won't be on blast anymore. But for now, she's on blast, okay? So she's at the Glenmark Hotel, Glendale, soon to open Glendale Hotel. And it's a boutique hotel, and it's a soft brand hotel. So you'll understand what soft brand means when we get her on the show. Now, this person right here is not on blast, but she has agreed to be on the show. I mean, I get a lot of notes on LinkedIn and things like that, and people like, oh, great show, listen to your show, it's good, thank you, blah, 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 blah. So Carla Almos, O-L-M-O-S, so I'm going to say Almos. Almost? Okay. She's at the DoubleTree Ontario. Now, I haven't had anyone from Ontario on the show yet, right? So Ontario, and I've used hotels in Ontario a lot, okay, in the last several years, but I haven't had anyone on the show yet. So Carla, last week, I don't even know how, she must have just sent a LinkedIn message. Like I said, she said, you know, good show, whatever. And I said, hey, are you interested in being on the show? And she said, of course. So when somebody says, of course, that means they really want to be on the show, because normally people are like, what is the show? What do I need to do? No, she didn't say that. She just said, of course. So which means she's all in. She wants to be on the show. Give me the questions. I'll answer them. No big deal. That's what she said. So now she didn't say that, but you know, you get what I'm saying. So Carla Almos, thank you so much. You're not on the list yet, but you will be on the list. And I'm going to contact you to get you a date to be on the show. And it's ironic here is that Carla is the daughter of someone I used to work with. I don't know if that's a good thing, you know, for me to date myself like this. I don't know. But her mother, Christina, and I'm going to mispronounce your last name, Christina. I'm sorry. It's Riverol, R-I-V-E-R-O-L-L. Okay. She's a VP with Evolution Hospitality. Now, I knew her when she was the director of rooms at the Bonaventure years ago. No, it wasn't that long ago, but now her daughter, well, her daughter's been a sales manager, senior sales manager at this hotel for years now. So I'm like, who's getting old here? Are we getting old or is the daughter getting old? I don't know. But anyway, so that's interesting that now the people I work with, their kids are working in the industry. Just like Marilyn, her daughter's working in the industry. Dana Oman, her daughter's working in the industry. Oh my God. Now, Marilyn has been on the show. Dana Oman's with Marriott. She needs to be on the show. I'm going to get you on the show, Dana, so you can come and talk about your hotel in Hawaii. So Dana is the director of sales and marketing and I can't think of the hotel, Dana. I'm sorry, but it's in Hawaii. That's all I know. But we're going to get you on the show. So, but all these kids of people I used to work with are now in the hotel industry, which is crazy. But anyway, introduction of today's topic. Now, I have a couple of different topics, and I may get through all of them. I don't know. Or I may just do one and just see if that lasts the next couple of minutes. But over the weekend, I was in Phoenix. So I was there for, you know, one of the kids had a 16th birthday party, right? And they wanted to spend it with their family in Phoenix. So, of course, we agreed to do it, right? And that was going up there was fine. Coming back was a beast. And what I mean is traffic was crazy coming back from Phoenix. Left at 10 a.m., got home at 8 p.m. Okay, that's crazy, right? But I guess you got to do what you have to do for your kids, right? You only turn 16 once, right? So anyway, so that's I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but this has to do with we had to stay at a hotel, right? So we went there and we had to stay at a hotel. So one of my topics is how hotel F&B plays into travel decisions, right? So, you know, we stay in hotels all the time, or I stay in hotels all the time, right? What separates one hotel from another hotel? I mean, every hotel has a bed, right? Everyone has a bed and all this kind of stuff. But did you know this? 65% of Americans would pick one hotel over another if the hotel stay included complimentary breakfast. Okay, so that's a determining factor for me, right? So which hotel, so we look at which hotel has breakfast versus one that doesn't, right? And we have a car, so it doesn't matter where the hotel is actually located, because the hotel was not near where this party was, right? So, and Phoenix is not that big where, I mean, if you're next to the freeway or close to the intersection or, I mean, interstate, that's fine. So it didn't really matter. But the what matters is that one hotel had breakfast and maybe a couple other ones didn't. So my question is, if 65% of Americans would pick one hotel over another based on if they had breakfast included in the rate, why wouldn't all hotels have breakfast included in their rate? And in that way, you know, I guess it's even playing field, or maybe you're more at an advantage that someone's going to pick your hotel if you do have it, because all the hotels did not have it. Okay. All the ones that we looked at didn't have breakfast in the rate. So I guess my question is, why wouldn't they have breakfast in the rate? If 65%, maybe they don't know this stat, right? Maybe this stat should be more than that. I don't know. Or maybe it should just be even, like every hotel has a, and then it has a breakfast included. And then maybe you have to just based on, is it going to be based on the brand then, based on, you know, proximity to where you need to be? Because then that takes it out of the equation. Because if all hotels had breakfast, then that takes that out of the equation. Now we're moving on to something else. So, like, say one of the hotels was an independent hotel, and they did not have breakfast. But this was a branded hotel. So this was a Spring Hill Suites where we stayed. So select service hotel, right? You know, it comes with, I only ate oatmeal and fruit, right? And that which is fine for me. That's all I need. And they had orange juice and cranberry juice. That's all I really needed, right? But for other people, they had bacon, they had sausage, they had pancakes, they had cooked to order waffles or made to order. You could make them yourself. They had all this stuff, right? So didn't make sense not to stay there, right? Unless I just wanted to spend extra money and go somewhere else. But it's more convenient. I even had a couple people come over and join us, you know? So I don't know. Was I supposed to say that? I don't know. But, but I mean, why not stay at the hotel that has the breakfast? Breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? Especially on a Sunday. I mean, who's going to go somewhere else and eat? And the place was packed, right? So just take another drink of water. So just remember, comparing apples to apples, what would separate me? Why would I choose one hotel or over another? Okay, there's one, like I said, breakfast is one reason why. So everything should be even. Why not? If you're in that same market segment as, or same market as this particular hotel, the Spring Hill Suites in Phoenix, well, I can't think the street is off of. It's off of 7th Street. Off of 7th Street. And I can't think of the street that it's on, but it's off of 7th Street. Why wouldn't all the hotels in that area have it? So that's just a question. One of those things for you to ponder. And send me your, if you have, you know, comments on it, you know, email those comments to me so we could talk about it. I talked about indie hotels and staying competitive in digital world. Indie hotels have a challenge. Is pricing enough? Like, okay, so this is a different topic. So indie hotels or independent hotels, boutique hotels, okay. Do they have to lower their prices in order to be competitive with the bigger brand hotels? Like, say I'm a independent hotel or a boutique hotel that's 200 rooms, and then there's a 200 room Big M or Marriott next door. Okay, that's my competition. Do I need to lower my rate for that? Or am I doing a good enough job via social media, via, you know, promoting, advertising, whatever, to compete with that? Because you're never going to compete. There's only one thing. There's only different ways you can compete with a big brand like that. You're not going to compete on the reservation side, because the Marriott reservation system is by far the one of the best out there, right? So you can't compete on that level. So meaning you got to play in the OTA market. You got to make sure your name is getting out there somewhere, right? So what do you do? How do you compete with those types of hotels that are in your market? I mean, you have to be you have to stay relevant somehow. So that's why I always say it doesn't make sense why hotels don't have a social media presence, or they're just, what are they relying on? I mean, if you're like the, and I'm just going to throw some hotels out there, and this is LA markets I'm speaking of, the Godfrey, okay, the Freehand, the Amarano. I mean, you know, these are hotels, the Glenmark, the new one in Glendale. How is that one going to compete with the other hotels? Well, the Glenmark is different because it's a soft brand Marriott, right? So the reservation is going to be taken care of, right? But if you just hear about the Glenmark, you're just driving by and say, oh, the Glenmark Hotel, and it's next to, you know, some other branded hotels. Why would I pick this hotel over those branded hotels? What are you doing different that's going to make me, that's going to appeal to me? Are you offering free breakfast? Or is it just the rate, you know? And sometimes, you know, a couple dollar difference in rate, you know, okay, I'll give you a chance, or, you know, might as well give it a try. I mean, these are issues that independent hotels have, and I had it as an independent director of sales and marketing and an independent general manager, right? So these are the questions that I had to ask myself, like, well, what do I do different that the other competition is not doing? Just so happens that one particular hotel that we were pretty much in our market, there were no branded hotels. They were just independent hotels. So now the playing field is easy, and now you're just trying to one up another boutique or another independent hotel. So what are you doing that's different from them? Is it your location? Are you playing up your location? Because that's what we did. We tried to play up our location, and we had to play up the historical value of the hotel. I mean, the hotel was, you know, built in, you know, the 60s, early 60s, and we had a entertainment following, if you will, meaning, you know, old Hollywood stayed there. And the hotel was still indicative of old Hollywood because it was an old property that still was stuck in the 80s for the most part until they did a renovation, right? And then the funny thing, and this is, I'm going off on a tangent now. The funny thing, when they did this major renovation, we lost a lot of those old people that liked the way it used to look. But that was okay, right? Because now you're turning in an old market for a newer market. People would, you know, maybe they're spending more money. Maybe these people stay more frequently because the older people weren't staying there frequently. They loved the idea of, oh, I used to stay there, or we used to fish there, or we used to do this, we used to do that. Well, now things have changed, right? So the markets changed, the people, demographics changed, all that kind of stuff has changed. So it just depends on what do you do as an independent hotelier that's different than everyone else. So that's just one thing that I always throw out there for independent hotels. Like I said, I have a soft spot for independent hotels because I used to work at several of them. So, but I always think about, that's what kept me up at night. You know, people ask you, what keeps you up at night? Well, then trying to one up the competition, that's what kept me up at night. But, you know, ask yourself that question. What keeps you up at night? What is the other topic I want to talk about? So sales leads, what do we do with sales leads? And this is for salespeople. You know, I used to be a salesperson. I used to be a director of sales. And you're always, you're in search of that next piece of business, right? So you get these sales leads. You go to these events. You spend all this time, there's all this money. What do you do with the sales leads? And I mentioned this maybe a couple of weeks ago because I go to trade shows a lot, right? Being a hotel site selection for these companies, organization, you know, my job is to go out there and find or build relationships with hoteliers, hotel salespeople, whoever goes to these trade shows, right? So they spend their time and money. They spend thousands of dollars putting up these elaborate booths and things like that. I come there, me and other people similar to me. We come, we stop at the booth. We may even have an appointment and we talk about, you know, my needs and, you know, what my clients have and what they represent. And then you talk about your hotel, right? Okay, we exchange cards, we exchange information. You're going to email me, you're going to do all this stuff. Okay, so we meet for 15 minutes. And then we go, and then we go, you know, meet with other hotels or destinations or whatever and keep going. So a week later, you get back in your office, meaning me, I get back in my office, and the hotel person that I met with gets back in their office. And sometimes, like say, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, say I had 20 appointments. Let's just use it as an example. 20 appointments. My last show that I went to, only 11 people got back to me, meaning they followed up and said, hey, it was great seeing you, blah, blah, blah. Let me know if I can ever be assistant. Here's, you know, as we talked about, here's, you know, the specs for our meeting space and all this kind of stuff. And this is things that we can do for this particular group that I have, because I always try to go with an RFP, request for a proposal for a group that I have, right? I try not to go to these trade shows unless I do have business for some of these people. And I only set up appointments with people that I either use in the past or have the potential of using, right? So if I'm going to a trade show and there's, and I'm just going to use this as an example, if there's Green Bay, Wisconsin, well, I've never planned a meeting in Green Bay. So not saying I never will, but I probably will not choose Green Bay as one of the places I'm going to meet or have a meeting with. Because I've never been there. Two, I never planned anything there. And my current clients don't have a need for that. So I'm not going to waste their time or my time with doing that. So that's fine, right? I mean, that's okay. You can do that. But my point that I'm trying to make is that if I did meet with you, why would you not follow up with me? I mean, those are leads, right? I gave you an RFP, which means I'm somewhat interested in your destination. We met, we talked about it, but you have not followed up with me and let me know that, what we talked about, you know, thanking me for coming by. Here's the specs that I talked about I was going to send you and things like that. So, like I said, out of 20, only 11 really, only 11 reached out to me, which I think that's ridiculous. So, I mean, 100% of the people that you meet with should respond back to you. I shouldn't have to respond to them. They should respond to me, right? Because, and I'm not trying to sound elitist because I'm a planner and all this stuff, because some planners are like this, right? But as a hotelier, I was always trained to follow up until they say, well, we can't use you or whatever. Then, okay, then I move on to somewhere else. But always still keeping them. And, you know, call them if it's once a year, once a quarter, you know, whatever it is. I mean, you still have to follow up with people. Even if it's just an email, I'm not saying you got to pick up the phone and call me and say, hey, have a conversation with me. But why not just email me and say, hey, thanks for meeting me, blah, 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 blah. This is information, blah, blah, blah. And then keep it moving. But it's just funny, not funny. It's odd, peculiar how hotels, destinations, tourism boards, whatever you want to call them, will come to these trade shows and not respond or not follow up on the leads that they have. So I think I've beaten that one enough today. So those are three things I want to talk about, and I already talked about them. So does that make sense? I can't hear you. No, I'm joking. So anyway, I'm almost out of time here. So I do appreciate everyone listening or taking the time to tune in to On Air with Russell of Hotels, Hospitality Unplugged. I didn't get out of control today. I'll just talk about some of the things that were on my mind. I typically have a script of what I'm going to talk about, and I normally go off topic as I always do. But that's okay, because it's On Air with Russell of Hotels, and I enjoy doing the show. I enjoy talking about hospitality, hotels, restaurant, foodie, being a vegan. I thoroughly enjoy that, and I appreciate, you know, LA Talk Radio giving me the platform to talk about that stuff. So if you have any questions at all, you can always email me at russell@russellofhotels.com or check out my website at russellofhotels.com. I normally put every place I've been in the last whatever year or so, every trip that I've taken, I normally put those things on there. So there's always some good pictures to see if you're interested in seeing that kind of stuff. So, but I do appreciate you guys listening, not just listening on latalkradio.com, but watching me on Facebook Live. And like I said, after this is done, it becomes a podcast, and I'll put it on LinkedIn and all the other social media platforms. So thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you. In fact, hold on, let me cue up what I'm doing here, because last week I hit the wrong button and it went through a series of things, and I'm like, oh my God. But anyway, shout out to my mom in Blythe. Hope you're listening to the show. Hope things are going well. And shout out to other people in Blythe too. So that's where I'm from, just in case you didn't know. So anyway, I'm out. You guys have a great day. Be safe. Happy holidays. And we'll see you next Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And to remember what today is. Today is Taco Tuesday. So go eat some tacos.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.